following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Everyone, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, along with you on this Wednesday, right smack dab in the middle of July, and we've got a little bit of everything to talk about today: baseball, football, hockey, ESPYs, a variety of things.
Which is everything.
And God knows I can't wait for the ESPYs tonight.
I know you're a huge fan of this made-up event just to fill a night of sports interest.
I have a brethren, and thanks to the guys at Hale Varsity, I got a chance to host yesterday, but I've got a brethren in Chris Schmidt who talks a little bit more about some of the things he does off the air than we would do. But if it doesn't rain today, I have plans of taking a nap during the ESPYs.
It's not being DVR'd at my house. It's not. So yeah, I doubt that really makes it into my evening plans as well.
But it's usually fun out there, and we'll talk about that. Lots of concerts going on tonight. Got a big concert at the Vero Event Center. Got the Adams County Fair going on in Hastings. So if you're kind of in the rock and roll, it's Kearney night. If you're in the country, it's Hastings night. And items going on all over the place. So Three Doors Down and Seether. I see you as a Seether guy.
I kind of like Three Doors Down as well, but yeah, there's a few Seether songs I actually do know. I mean, don't hate me because I'm beautiful. I mean, I'm hip. What do you want me to do?
I heard you're in the owner's box tonight for shirt off night.
Ooh, I haven't really worked that out yet with the owner, but I have a chance now.
Well, Kirk Brooks and new head coach and general manager Bill McCault will join us here momentarily. They are in studio. We'll also be talking with our 14 teams in 14 days as we get ready to go to Chicago for Big Ten Media Days at the end of the month. David Woods from the Indianapolis Star is going to join us to talk about that team. I think they replaced Northwestern. If they were in the West, Randy, they would be Northwestern. Fun to watch, and you're usually going to beat. Well, you're always going to beat them. Now, Northwestern clipped the Huskers once, but you're usually going to beat them.
But they're
going to
score points. They're going to score a lot of points. Indiana had a tremendous passing game last year, and some of the best receivers in the conference. Them and Maryland were a lot of fun to watch in terms of their high-paced offense that doesn't really look like that 3 yards and a cloud of dust that the Big Ten was always famous for. They're really on the other end of the scale. They kind of remind you of an old WAC team where you just had to outscore them.
And also on the program today, Jay Christensen is an assistant football coach at South Dakota State. He is a Loper. He is a former Loper assistant. He's been at Morningside. He has seen some victorious programs. And, of course, the Huskers playing the Jackrabbits a couple times here over the last 5 years. But he's in town. He's going to join us. And as we've talked about, there are a lot of Nebraska kids. And we see this with a coaching transition in Lincoln, and I think, yes, there is. You can draw dot A to dot B. That when there's coaching transition, maybe there's some kids that fall through the cracks. But this year, Wyoming, North Dakota State, South Dakota State, there are a lot more kids heading that way, and I think that'll probably stop in North Dakota now that Craig Bohl has gone to Wyoming.
Won't be as prevalent.
I think you're going to see it, but you're still going to see it. And there's a lot of them, and there's a few kids that are with the Jackrabbits, and we'll talk with him not only about those kids, but about getting a chance to expand and maybe have a footprint here in the state and get some kids that can help their program.
There was a time back when Nebraska was in the Big 12 or the Big 8 where they lost players to Iowa State. And then everybody else was Division II or NAIA schools. Well, now it isn't just Iowa State. And Iowa State isn't doing as well in Nebraska as they have because they've been replaced by South Dakota State. They've been replaced by North Dakota. I mean, you take a look at the championship runs of North Dakota, there was a lot of Nebraska players that helped the Bison win those national titles. And now the Bulls moved over to Wyoming. He's now applying that same kind of recruiting base, having those Nebraska roots, into Wyoming as well. And South Dakota is kind of looked at things. South Dakota State's the Jacks have looked at and says, there's some talent in Nebraska. We can pull for that as well. So there's a lot of Division I players in the state of Nebraska who don't have an N on the side of their helmet when they sign their letters of intent.
So that's all coming up on the program today. The American League wins the All-Star game. The Royals have a good presence last night, especially Kane and Davis and Escobar all contributed to the win in some fashion last night. And we'll try to get to it all. But in studio with us, it's been a while since we've had a chance to talk with the owner of the Tri-City Storm, Kirk Brooks, who I heard dusted off the golf clubs yesterday. How'd that go?
I actually didn't. You know, I got one of those pre-golfing injuries sleeping.
He's still on Vegas time.
It's pretty tough when you injure yourself sleeping. So anyway, I slept on
I wouldn't put a long stick in my hand if I'm getting hurt while I'm sleeping.
I slept on my wrist wrong. And how he did that, I have no idea. I think the competition was just a little steep yesterday, so I needed an excuse, you know?
Good idea. And you brought your new coach and general manager, Billy, with us. Okay, we're going to get this out of the way because I asked Coach a week ago when we had him on the show, tell us the proper way to say your last name. And it's all in fun. I watched every single one of our television brethren. The newspaper doesn't have to worry about it. They have to spell it right.
Right.
But they don't have to say it. So I'm TV and radio, and I heard it three different ways. So from this moment on, Bill, last name for everybody is?
McCault.
McCault. Of
McCault.
Course. McCault.
Okay.
Okay, Bill McCault.
I pronounced it four ways already, so, I mean, come on.
Well, I think we were on it, but Bill McCault is the new head coach and general manager, and welcome into the studio. Now, we want to have a little fun, but I also have, obviously, a couple serious questions that we'll get to Kirk a little bit later on. But we talked a lot of business last week. We talked a lot of business at the press conference. Let's let the folks know a little bit about you. Just kind of background. You're another Canadian. Your background, your family, where you've been. In what you like to do, take as long as you want or as little time as you want.
Well, keep it short and sweet. Originally from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. My dad was a police officer, so he grew up in a lot of small towns in British Columbia and played minor hockey, and then I went on and played in the BC Junior Hockey League and got a scholarship to the University of Michigan. Spent 4 years there, won a couple of national championships, part of 96 and 98. National championship teams at Michigan, and then jumped to the National Hockey League and, played in Vancouver, the New York Islanders, Ottawa Senators, and finished my career with the Minnesota Wild. And after 18 surgeries, there wasn't much demand for my services anymore.
You know, as an Avs fan, I heard Wild, Canucks, and Red Wings is what I heard. Reading through that. I'm still going to be nice to you anyway. You do not have a connection to the USHL. You got a lot of connections with NHL teams. What do you know about the league? Obviously, recruiting, you've had to do a lot of work with the USHL when you're recruiting for Michigan Tech.
No question. Being a college assistant coach and in charge of recruiting, very familiar with the league, the personnel, the coaches in the league. And obviously, traveling all over and developing those relationships with advisors and players and parents and obviously coaches and general managers. So from that aspect, I mean, when I was in the North American League, we were looking for the players that were going to fall through the cracks and try and secure those players. And then when you're in the Division I college level, you're looking for the best players. So, you know, we recruited Phoenix Copley and Joel Esperance to Michigan Tech. So familiar with the league from that standpoint. And if, you know, we could go and name players in the league that have gone through the last few years that have been real good players for us. And and guys that have gone on, whether it's Matt Roy, who just was drafted by the Los Angeles Kings, Cliff Watson, who was drafted by San Jose, you know, just a few of the players. Brett Boeing, who was in Dubuque, you know, had a real big year for the Fighting Saints. He'll be going to Michigan Tech. So definitely really familiar right-handed defenseman. He'll be coming in as well from Cedar Rapids, Mitch Reinke. So definitely very familiar with the league from that standpoint, but not having played in it, maybe is a little bit misleading.
Michigan. We should have previewed Michigan football today, I guess. But pecking order when it comes to Michigan, football, then is it hockey, or how did that work in your collegiate days?
You know, I think obviously football was number one. They won a national championship there in 97. We were very tight with the football players.
They shared a national championship in 1997.
And that's gracious, by the way,
Okay, but we still love you anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. You throw Michigan football in there for the Az fan. I'm just saying there's thin ice here, but that's okay.
But, I mean, you got 114 or 118,000, however many people it is in the big house. So it was, you know, a lot of great memories, a lot of really good friends. They thought we were crazy. And, obviously, you know, growing up in small town British Columbia, football wasn't very big or very good for that matter. So, you know, watching these guys, you know, play was just awesome, was special.
We're talking with Bill McCulty, a new head coach, general manager of the Tri-City Storm, Kirk Brooks, the owner, and we're going to chat with him here in a moment as well. Again, we talked a lot of that business. We find out today that you're going to get to open at home with Omaha. That's been released this morning by Jared Shaffrin, who runs the league now. He's also in studio with us. But the home opener for the Lancers is going to be on Friday, or for the Storm is against the Lancers, Friday, September 25th at the Viero Event Center. And then the rest of the schedule is set to come out tomorrow. We keep asking about getting the team going, getting things ready to go. I'm going to get, because I thought it was interesting at the press conference, bringing the Steve Lowe's name up, because he had to be a big part of helping in this coaching transition submit a 30-man roster to the USHL, which is part of the rules. So how long do you think will it take for you to personally get to look at these guys? What's the next process? What's the next step for you?
Well, that's a great question, and I think I was pretty candid and transparent, is that, you know, I do know the league, and I do know our team, but I want to continue to get to know it better. Steve's been excellent. He knows this, the players in our drafted system, our 30-man list, our affiliate players. You know, Steve's put together that roster, so for me, I'm all ears, and I'm listening, and I know one thing: when I'm speaking, I'm not learning much. So I know what I know, and I know what I don't know. So I think, you know, one of the things is it makes a great staff and organization is you have to rely on everybody, and everybody's got to do their job well, and Steve's certainly done that. So for me, you know, I think it's just a matter of time getting up to speed, and once we get the players on the ice, we can start to make some assessments individually and then collectively what our needs are moving forward.
Obviously, you probably adjust your style of play based on the personnel that you have, and it'll be a little while before it's completely your team in that sense. In a perfect world, what kind of style of hockey do you like to play? Is it strong forechecking? Is it very physical? Is it finesse, skilled, speed? What would be a team if you could design it from the ground up, a perfect team? What would that look like?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it's our team. It's not my team, it's our team. I really a team-first approach, and I'm a team-first guy. But having said that, I do know where you're coming from. I like to play with speed. I like to play with, you're going to hear pace, push the pace. And we can get into more detail as the season goes on with that. But hockey's a game of possession, and if you don't have the puck, you're playing defense. And I know it sounds simple, but if we have the puck, We've got the ability to generate plays, create momentum, and when you do that, good things come from that. So we definitely want to, you know, pursue the puck in all areas, and we want to be a team that's attention to detail. And once we get everybody on board, playing the same system, doing the things we're asking as a staff, you know, then we're going to have that culture and that chemistry.
Let's turn our attention to the owner of the Tri-City Storm, Kirk Brooks. And there are two or three questions that I hear time and time again that I grin. Wow. And I grin and I go. And the first one is, I can't believe he still owns the team. And you've addressed that numerous times. Your son played. You liked what was going on. There's been some transition. There's been a lot of turnover here in the last year out at the Viero Event Center. And we always have to remember that it's not just hockey that goes on at the Viero Event Center, like the concerts tonight. But press conference, you still seem very involved and very happy. Is that true with what's going on?
Absolutely. I think I'm more excited now than I've been in, you know, probably two or three years. But I think that had a little bit to do with my health and not being able to be here as often and everything. And now I'm going to be able to be here more often. I mean, I'm, you know, the only time I was more excited is when I bought the team, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm very excited that Billy decided to come coach for us. You know, one thing I liked about Billy, you know, like according to your question, what kind of hockey he'd like to play. You know, he probably gave me the best answer a coach could give. He says, you know, that depends on what we've got. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, if you've got a quarterback or something in football, can't throw the ball, you can be a running team, you know. And it's the same way with hockey, you know. You might have to be a grind team right off the bat. If you don't have any guys that are really superstars to put the puck in the net, it's not going to do you any good to play that type of hockey. You got to play a grind and get to the front of the net and get the ugly goals. And that's basically what Billy told me was, you know, it depends on what we've got, what our talent is. But, you know, in relationship to another question you ask, I think Billy's been a little bit coy when he talks about his ability to know the players. There's not a player on our team he doesn't know. He recruited for Michigan Tech. There's players that I say, remember that guy? What was this? And instantly he comes up with a name. I know he knows the league. I know he knows the players. So it's going to be a good relationship, believe me. I can tell you that right now.
Well, you talk about the excitement that you have right now, but you know, as a fan, I think there's a lot of apprehension out there because you lose Greg Shea, who people from this community know and has done an outstanding job working for you and running the facilities itself, and obviously Coach Holton leaving through there. I do think there's a lot of apprehension by the fans. What would you say to kind of put their minds at ease besides your enthusiasm?
Well, it's kind of like I walked into a staff meeting yesterday, and I assured them that I just come from outside and the sky is not falling. I mean, honestly, change happens everywhere. I mean, if you can believe it or not, Obama's not going to be president next time. I mean, that's just the way it is. This league is a development league, and that's what it's all about. It's about moving players onto college. It's about moving trainers onto other leagues that are higher to make more money, announcers, whatever it is, you're moving on. And that's just the way it works. And if you're not used to that, you shouldn't be in the USHL. Because if you think you're going to hire people and they're going to be lifers with you in the USHL, it just doesn't happen. I mean, it's with every team. And you mentioned that, you know, it's happened a lot more this season. Well, that's because of our success last season. Because, you know, you usually don't look at teams that are in seventh and eighth place and say, man, I got to have one of their executives. I got to have one. I got to have their coach, you know, or their scouts. But When you finish like we did last year, then people say, wow, you know, that's a winning combination. I want a piece of it.
Kirk Brooks, the owner of the Tri-City Storm and the new head coach and general manager Bill McCault with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You've been very upfront about this with everybody that's asked you the question, so let's put it to bed. The transition in coaches seemed to be very on the up and up and handshake if you weren't in Las Vegas in Canada at the time that this all went down. I guess the question, the final question that I would have on this is, at what point did you say, I need to start looking for a coach because Holton has not signed his contract?
Well, and to be honest, it wasn't a matter of Jim, you know, didn't like his contract, didn't want the contract. This was a demand that I put on it, and that was that he either had to be with his family in Canada or he had to be with his family here in Kearney. I look at his 9-year-old and his younger boy, I think he's like 6 years old, and just the gleam in their eye when they were here, you know, to see their dad and watch their dad coaching and everything like that. And I'm a family man, and I think everybody should try to be together as much as they can, and it just wasn't working for his family, and it wasn't working for us, him being up there. You could always tell when Jim wasn't around. I mean, he just had an air about him with the players and things like that, that we usually didn't do well. If Jim wasn't at practice that week, we didn't do well. So we came to an understanding that one of the two had to happen, and it got to the point. And I told Jim I welcomed him to go interview for other jobs up in Ontario because that's where he's from. So it wasn't like I didn't know he was interviewing, and that I actually encouraged him to. In fact, at our camp, I got a text from one of the teams, Oshawa, that wanted to interview him, and they were asking permission to interview him and everything. I said, well, he's not under contract. I says, I encourage you to. And I showed Jim the text, and I said, Jim, if you get this job, you should take it. I mean, this is a good job, and it's an hour from your house. I mean, what better situation than that? So I would like to think that it was a good thing for both of us. Again, I'm happy to have Billy on board. I mean, you know, I feel like you have to have somebody that's here and willing to commit to being here. And that's not Jim's fault, again, but it's reality. It's like putting a square peg in a round hole. You just can't get it in there. That's all there is to it. So I'm very happy going forward with what we've got, and I know Billy will be a big part of the community, and we'll go forward.
With Mr. Brooks's comments, Bill, I guess that leads us into a little bit of your personal background. We've kind of heard about that. What about family and that sort of thing?
Okay, well, my better half, she's down here right now, actually probably getting the house sorted out, and then I have a stepdaughter that will be attending Penn State. She'll be a freshman. Claire will be a freshman at Penn State in the fall. Speaking of football and Big Ten, So I'm torn. I'm going to be a Huskers fan, Nittany Lion, in Michigan. Just don't ask me what order.
Speaking of Penn State,
we won't.
And family. What about your boy? Whatever happened?
Kenny's a senior at Penn State this year. He's done very well for himself. There. He's not a big football fan there, though. I say, I ask him, how many games you go to? He said, well, Dad, when they recruited me, I went down on the field and everything. I saw the team. I said, well, what about since? He says, it's pretty busy over there at the stadium. I don't want to get caught up in the crowds, So I don't really have that dilemma of whether I'm rooting for the Huskers or Penn State, because I can't even get him to the game. So.
Or UNLV,
Yeah. He's done real well, and we're happy that he went there. And hopefully we can get – last year was a little bit of injury-riddled season for him. And hopefully we can get through this season. I will say that they're going to be down this year. They lost a lot of good players. And Casey Bailey, that played in Omaha, signed a pro contract in Toronto. So they're going to be down a little bit. So we're not going to worry about his playing time, I don't think.
Kirk, you mentioned, and this came up, and I thought it was interesting, because about 2 months ago, the NHL was talking about expanding, and they talked about three or four different cities, maybe a second franchise. And it was in Ottawa, one of the Canadian cities. I can't remember
Hamilton.
Sure.
Toronto wants two of them.
They want to have two. But Las Vegas is there, and the Storm have been going out there for years for camps. Now other people are doing it. You have any insight? Do you have any inkling? You have any, hey, I want to get in on this and maybe bring a team to Las Vegas?
Let's put it this way. As far as a team in Las Vegas, I think it'll work very well. Especially because of the casinos and their customers coming to town. I'm not really a betting man.
Ironically.
Unless we got right on the course,
That's investing.
But
that's
if they told me you had to bet one way or the other and risk all your money, I'm betting there's going to be a team in Las Vegas.
Let's would you be interested in having anything to do with that team?
Well, I guess I wouldn't say oddly enough, but we have met with Murray Craven, who's a spokesman for Foley, and we've met with Foley, and they're actually talking to us about building a practice facility for them out in Las Vegas. So we'll see how that goes. What people don't understand is about a practice facility is the team's probably only going to use it an hour or two a day. So what do you do with it the rest of the time? You let it sit empty, a $10 million facility or something like that, you can't. You have to fill it. And they realize that they've got to get somebody on board either helping them build it or running it that actually has the ties with youth hockey, men's hockey, tournaments. I mean, there's not a month goes by in Vegas where we don't have two or three outside tournaments come in. Because let's face it, if you're a guy in a men's tournament and your buddy says, hey, we got to go to Vegas for a hockey tournament, honey, darn, but I got to go with the guys to Vegas. So it's a great, great place when it comes to that. So, yes, we will be involved.
Is there anything you plan for the facility for the Vero Event Center here? You kind of mentioned about, you know, you only use the ice for a little bit and trying to bring more events in there. I know that the Four County Conference basketball tournament is widely accepted, and the folks there love that. Is there some plans to try to bring in more events like that?
We would love to have as many events as we could there, you know, whether it be basketball, whatever it is. I mean, you know, farm shows, whatever we can bring in there, we want to do. We're actually bringing a new, what I would call, entertainment director on. She's been in Vegas. Her name's Judy Alberti, and she's very familiar with a lot of the concerts and firsthand. I mean, she can pick the phone up and call Toby Keith tomorrow if she wanted to. So we're bringing her on board to try to help us get some more bookings. And, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to get people into Kearney, Nebraska. Not that it's Kearney, but, you know, we've only got 5,000 seats there, whereas, you know, some of these big artists are used to playing to 12,000 to 15,000. I mean, getting Alan Jackson last year was just like a godsend. I mean, we loved it. So if we can get more artists like that, and I'm hoping with her abilities that we're going to be able to do that.
Would you have to put in a second a practice sheet of ice, essentially, to really be able to take that next step? Is that a possibility? Or is that,
you know,
not, it doesn't pencil out?
I hadn't really thought about it. I thought I'd just have my guys work twice as hard.
Kirk Brooks, owner of the Tri-City Storm, and Bill McCult, the new head coach and general manager. Another minute here. I did want to get, you echoed them at the press conference Monday, and I'll be frank here. I'd heard the name Steve Lowe. I didn't know what Steve Lowe did. He's got a unique way that he scouts hockey. He actually has a real job, and he has another job scouting the hockey players for you. He was very essential, not only this year, we got to it because of the transition and the timing of all this, but you gave some good words for him. Could you just describe, I mean, I know there's about 2,000 that are there for Storm hockey all the time, and there's us that show up and want to see the Storm win. Explain what Steve Lowe means to this organization.
He means a lot to this organization. Again, I didn't have Steve the first 3 years that we're in business here. And I had other scouts who, as I had learned, didn't exactly get the job done. And Steve, I mean, it's an uncanny ability to be able to sit in a building, an ice rink on top of it, and watch 8 games in a day. Because to me, everything just starts getting blurred together. They all look like they're either all bad or all good, you know, at that point in time. But he's able to do that. So, you know, we can thank him for giving us the players that got us where we were last year, and Jim for coaching those players. So, but let's face it, you know, it's with every pro team, whether it's football or the Huskers or anything, if they didn't get any good recruits, I don't care who's coaching them, Newt Rockney or anybody, it's not going to happen. And that's why, you know, he's so important. He really knows, you know, it's like I told Billy, he really knows talent. And that's really good, but also you got to throw in a guy like Billy, because Billy likes that tough, you know, kid get to the corners and everything. And he's going to have to coach the team, so he's going to have to make a decision on, okay, do I want this much talent without grit, or do I want some grit in here? And that's what the makeup of a team is. I mean, if you watched Miracle, it wasn't like he took all the best players. He said, I'm taking the players that fit together to make this team. And that's what a team's all about. If you go out there and get yourself 12 forwards and they're all just very talented, but none of them want to play defense or have any grit, you're in trouble. I don't care how many goals you score, the other team's going to outscore you.
Bill, two-part question here real quick. What about this job do you find the most exciting? And what the other part of that is, what kind of element do you go, I wish I didn't have to deal with this? I mean, what is there an obstacle that you feel that you need to overcome, or the program needs to overcome, or what have you?
Just the first is, you know, coaching is a passion. I've been, like I said at the press conference, lucky to have found it once playing. Probably have more passion coaching and more honestly more reward out of helping kids develop and move on. So from that standpoint, just, you know, not because he's sitting here, but to come work for Kirk, just knowing we there were a lot of mutual people there, and not one person could say a bad word about him. And I think that, you know, starts at the top, leadership and championships and organization start at the top. So I felt really comfortable in that, and then the league, just with the steps the USHL has taken as a league, you know, those were the real keys to wanting to come on board and working with Steve. You know, there was a comfort level there knowing Steve. You know, on a side note, we're going to be rounding out the coaching staff here in the near future. I'll let Jared speak more to that. He'll keep you guys in tune with that, but really excited about that. And then the second part of your question was just, I don't know if there's really one. I mean, everything comes with the job. There's things that you like more than others, but that's all part of, you know, doing the job. So I don't know if there's one area. I mean, every day going to a hockey rink, to me, is I feel like I'm the luckiest guy. You know, I love hockey. I love the game of hockey. I like working with people. I like getting them better. Like I said, my career was over a long time ago. There wasn't much demand for it. So I think it's pretty rewarding to try and help these young men, not just on the ice, but off the ice. And they look at you sometimes and go, how do you know that? I made that mistake, or I saw somebody else, one of my teammates, do it along the way. So that's just part of life, right?
Yeah.
Voice of the Storm, Jared Schaffrin, just to give us some, we talked about the schedule. We're in Tweenerville. The schedule's done, Jared. It just hasn't been officially stamped. How much can you tell us besides the home opener is going to be at home on the 25th of September?
Yeah, so just announced this morning, the league wanted to have all the teams announce their home opener first, and then the full schedule is going to come out tomorrow morning. So, as you said, home opener against the Omaha Lancers, first of eight games against Omaha. And I think it's kind of neat that we get to open against the team that we helped eliminate last year in the playoffs, and you guys were there and saw some physicality, some mm-hmm. rough stuff at the end of that series. So that'll be exciting to open up against Omaha. Other than that, I mean, you guys have been here for 16 years. The schedule's, it's 60 games. We're going to play every team in the league. And, you know, some of the teams that we didn't have a chance to make trips to last year, Green Bay, Muskegon, you know, some of those teams like that where we weren't there last year, we're going to be going there this year. And teams like Madison, Bloomington that we went there last year, they're coming in here. So pretty much rotating everything, but other than that, the schedule's pretty much, you know, it's a long schedule, and there's a lot of bus traveling.
Well, for that first 10 years, either the schedule was quirky or there was a change. We played more games, we played less games, we had this many teams, we had that many teams. It's like for the second year in a row, this would be the first time ever. Is there going to be something quirky tomorrow?
No other, you know, you'll see a couple random weekday games thrown in there just because they got to fit 60 in somewhere, and building availability, you know, regardless of, you know, what you got, not everything always fits together perfectly. But no, you know what, like I said before, the teams that are in the Eastern Conference, I think we play all of them twice, very, very even. The teams in the West, we're going to play Lincoln and Omaha a few times more, but, you know, Sioux City, Sioux Falls, Fargo, all those teams, we'll have a bunch of matchups against those teams, and very much similar to last year's schedule.
Jared, thanks, man. Kirk, last word, anything you want to tell the fans that are listening out there that we haven't touched on?
I wanted to correct Jared. We're not going to play Omaha and Lincoln, we're going to beat Omaha and Lincoln. You know, that's the first thing right off the bat.
Well, guys, if we've covered it all, we'll wait till we convene together and get the kids back. We'll have the schedule to look at tomorrow. And, Kirk, great to see you again. Jared, you have one more thing?
I got one more thing because we just kind of, Bill just spoke about the assistant coaches. And, you know, we're going to hopefully have a release coming out about those guys soon. But those guys, you know, you guys talk about what Steve Lowe does and how important that scouting job is. The assistant coaches are very important as well. And I just, you know, part of our success also goes to credit some of what the assistants did last year. And you look at J.B. Bittner moving on upward and onward to Wisconsin, and you know we're gonna have to bring in some new assistant coaches because they were involved and they're very involved with Steve Lowe as well. So take a look out here in the next week or so. Hopefully we'll have some assistants to help Billy out because he's a great coach, but he's gonna need a little bit of help too.
Yeah, we always need little help. Jared Schaffrin, voice of the Storm, Bill McCult joining us in studio for the first time, head coach and general manager, and the owner Kirk Brooks.
We have already offered the jobs to the candidates, and they've accepted. But we got this one minor difficulty: they have given notice before they've announced on the air. So we thought maybe we'd give them a chance to do that.
Yeah, talk to the bosses first before.
It always works out better that rather than him hearing it.
Guys, thanks so much. We'll look forward to working with you again as much as we have everybody else. So thanks for the time.
Thank you.
We'll take a break here. Be back and talk football. David Woods of the Indianapolis Star to talk Indiana football, a little basketball, and Jay Christensen going to talk a little South Dakota State football and Nebraska high school recruits coming up after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty invites you to enjoy all the cruise night activities in Kearney this week. But please, keep it fun for everyone. Be safe. Be smart.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire...
Touchdown! Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see some showers and storms in the area as we head through the day today as temperatures will top off at around 83. East Wednesday at 5 to 15. Tonight with more showers and thunderstorms, we'll head down to 66. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 73.
Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and don't forget, they are the home of the Cruise Night Show and Shine. We'll be out there tomorrow from 5 to 7:30 at the Midway Auto Outlet, open for business, providing everything from a lower-end daily driver with great gas mileage to a late-model, low-mileage vehicle. Midway now has three dealerships in a four-block radius, which allows them to keep over 25 makes and 600 vehicles in stock or in transit to their dealership. And if the exact vehicle is not on the lot, they will find it for you. See the full and Full inventory online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Your Midway Auto Dealerships, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
As a Storm fan, I feel better after talking with the coach and the owner. I do. I think there is that natural fear that you have with any transition, with any change, and Mr. Brooks talked about it as well. But, you know, he's hired some good guys down the road here. So I have no reason to think that they're not going to continue with that positive momentum that they've had in the last couple of years.
I've never disliked or even 50%, 50-50 any of the Storm coaches, and I think that's weird. You know, any coach, everybody's a little bit different that the way that they handle things, the way, you know, maybe if you're talking about a player, man, he's too rough for me, or man, he's too easy for me, or he's, you know, he's one way or the other. I think they've all been good. They haven't all had the success like Jim had or Bliss had in the day, or even Hilly that started the hockey franchise off, but they're all still in the business, all still out there working, and I, you know. We'll see what Billy can do, but just from first, he's going to be great to have on the show. He's going to be great to have around the organization.
And Kirk said it absolutely. I mean, it's a development league. You don't hire a young coach and think that they're going to retire at age 65 as your coach of your team in the USHL. It's all about development, not just for the players, but everybody associated with it.
Coming up in just a moment, 14 teams in 14 days, but they're playing a little golf right now over at St. Andrews. They've come together. They call it the Champions Golf Challenge. Some of the past winners are playing a little best ball, four holes over there. Something for the BBC is what I've decided this is about. But Tom Watson announced today this will probably be, unless he somehow automatically qualifies, once you're 65, each major has, if you won the British, you can play till you're 65. He announced today during his press conference that the Masters will be his last Masters tournament from a 65-year-old who shot one under on the opening round this past April.
He says,
I just can't hit the ball far enough to be competitive anymore.
But, you know, you're still a pretty darn good golfer, and people want to watch you play. I mean, he's one of those great names of golf. He's been a wonderful ambassador. In a sense, it's really a shame to kind of lose that from him.
We mentioned this yesterday on Hail Varsity. It's been all over. But a lot of people maybe didn't even know that Jeff Schmall was from Grand Island. The Grand Island native passed away, had been battling pancreatic cancer. And one thing about being in the media, Jeff knew what it meant to talk to anyone that wanted to talk to him, put a blog up that people could follow. Mm-hmm. Folks that didn't even know anything about it have been finding out a lot more here in the 24 hours. Jeff took over. Now, remember, being from Ord, Dick Janda, also from Ord, was the 10. It was Mark Aumann at 10-11. When you got three channels, people, it was still the three we watched today, 10-11, NTV, and KHAS. Those were the three. So, but Dick was from Ord, so what do you watch?
Man,
it's like a little idol type thing there. But then Jeff Schmall took over for Dick, and then they went on to, after that, then it just seemed like it was, you know, turned it over quite a bit. But Schmall then went to work for Nebraska, and he and a handful of others, including Shot Clean, who, you know, you don't know who Shot is, but if you've ever been to a state tournament, you know who Shot is. You've seen him. And he's always there at the Husker events. And Rick Schweiger, who was the public address voice for football for a while. Now you've seen maybe that he's doing NASCAR on television for the Speed Channel. So he's doing some cool things there. But they developed and put Husker Vision up. He went there in 93. Husker Vision became part of 94. As we talked yesterday, you cannot imagine going to a Husker game, well, any sporting event, without having video boards and music and hype up videos and all that kind of thing. And Schmall was a part of that before following Bill Byrne to Texas A&M and helping them and do some great things down there until he retired last year.
And Jeff was working at 10-11 the same time I was working at NTV following the Huskers. So, I mean, we went to news conferences and games, and not together, but we kind of met there. And he was always such a great guy. I mean, there wasn't ever that kind of competitive, I'm going to screw over my competitor over here. It was always collaborative. It was always supportive. He was always a first-class individual. And the struggle he's had over the last 15 months since discovering that he had pancreatic cancer, and then having the ability, the courage to kind of document that, to invite everybody kind of along for the ride and the long goodbye. guy, I think is kind of how he phrased it. It just shows a lot about his character. And he truly was an outstanding broadcaster, but an even better man.
And Jeff's sense of timing. Today is the V Foundation, National ESPY, the ESPY Awards, but the National V Foundation auction on ESPN. So cancer has stricken so many people in one way or another. If you get a chance and can donate, we ask you to do so.
It's that time. 14 teams in 14 days, where we'll preview a different team each day, leading you up to the Big Ten Media Days, July 30th and 31st in Chicago. We're headed to the East Division for today's team, the Indiana Hoosiers.
Our 14 teams in 14 days rolls on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio, where we take a look at the Indiana Hoosiers, who have been exciting to watch because there's usually a lot of points in their football games. And we are thrilled to be joined by David Woods of the Indianapolis Stars a couple of weeks ahead of Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. And David, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. How are things in NCAA's biggest city in the world today?
Well, it's kind of we've had some terrible storms here recently, but on a sports news note, we're pretty quiet. We're a market without Major League Baseball, so there's not as much going on in our market as there is a lot of other cities.
I survey the Indianapolis Star, and it just tells you what sport is biggest in what college, what area. But there's not a whole lot of college football talk this time of the year for the Hoosiers, is there?
No, there never is, and I think it's sort of a deep-seated despair and cynicism that kind of pervades the Indiana football program, which is something that, you know, Kevin Wilson has probably fought against as much as he has had to build his own team. But I think, you know, at the risk of being Pollyannish, I think there really is reason for optimism for this football team, the shocking arrest of safety Antonio Allen notwithstanding.
Well, let's talk about Coach Wilson and where he's at right now. Obviously, we all know it was a major rebuilding program. The offense has got where it has needed to be. The defense is still trying to catch up. He's not on a hot seat. Is he on a hot seat? Are things going well enough for Hoosier fans?
I think you know, from far outside, people assume he's on the hot seat. But I think, you know, those close to the program and the administration, I think, has been fairly satisfied with what Coach Wilson has been able to do. He's had some pretty good recruiting classes, but, you know, he hasn't really had time to assemble them back-to-back and you know, kind of recreate Indiana football in his image. You know, the defense last year I really thought was better. And, you know, they switched to a 3-4, which I don't know how much that helped, but it certainly didn't hurt him. I think what hurt him was when quarterback Nate Sudfeld went out halfway through the season, and the offense became so feeble, that the defense got overexposed. So I would suggest the defense probably performed better than maybe some of the statistics indicate, because they sometimes gave up a lot of yards and big plays, you know, late in games when they were just beat down, you know, because the offense was so impotent.
How did Nate look in spring?
Well, he looked good in spring, and I'm hearing that he performed extremely well in the Manning camp, down in New Orleans. I think it was just this last week. Supposedly the only quarterback that maybe outperformed him down there was Christian Hackenberg of Penn State, and you know, people think, you know, Hackenberg is a, you know, as a surefire NFL prospect, but I'll never forget when I first was introduced to the beat and was new to the team and went into a meeting room with the three quarterbacks competing all at the same time. We were given the first media opportunity, and there was Nate Sudfeld, and there was Trey Roberson, and there was Cam Kaufman, and the one who looked like an NFL quarterback was Sudfeld. You know, he seemed like in command. He was, you know, a tall kid, I still think he probably will be a future NFL quarterback, but he's got to deliver on the field for Indiana this year.
We're talking with David Woods of the Indianapolis Star here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, looking at Indiana Hoosier football. Tevin Coleman, everybody knows about him. There was with our Amir Abdullah here at Nebraska. They were right there when it went to NFL prospects and where they'd be drafted. How do they replace this young man?
Well, they kind of caught a break in that they got in early after the UAB disbanded his football program, and Jordan Howard, who gained well over 1,000 yards for UAB last year. I think he was among the nation's top 10 rushers. I think he was seventh maybe in yards per game. So he has transferred to Indiana. Now, he had a minor injury and we didn't see much of him in the spring, but they're very fortunate to kind of replace one 2,000-yard rusher with a 1,300-yard rusher, and they also feel pretty good about some of their backups. So Tevin Coleman, I thought, was one of the most explosive, exciting athletes I've ever covered in many decades in journalism. But I think Indiana's ground attack may not decline as much as it would otherwise because of this addition of Jordan Howard.
And, David, it looks like their offensive line pretty good as far as returners for this year?
Yeah, very, very good offensive line. Jason Spriggs tests out, like a future NFL lineman. Dan Feeney has been on some watch lists, and he's a veteran. They've got plenty of offensive linemen. Their receiving core was pretty poor last year as a young, a young untested group. But I think they're bringing in a couple of freshmen, and they've also got another junior college transfer named Patrick, who I think should help them quite a bit. The pieces are there in place. If Indiana can't go at least 6-6 with this group, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, interesting because it's so tough when you're in that East Division, the tougher of the two divisions in the Big Ten. What about the defense? As we said, it's fun to watch the offense, but what about returners on defense? They've got a few linemen there, but maybe the secondary will be a little young.
Yeah, I think the secondary might be a little suspect. Although I think they have some talent back there. A kid named Chase Dutra, who's from the Indianapolis area, is returning safety. Losing Antonio Allen, who was arrested for drug dealing, was a huge blow. Just really kind of was a shocking off-season development, really. And plus, Indiana had a couple other kids have brushes with the law, so that was a little bit uncharacteristic. So we'll see if they can pull together after that. But Tegray Scales had a really good freshman season. I think he was a freshman All-America. Kid out of Ohio, performed well at linebacker. They have, I think, a more than adequate defensive line. Darius Latham was a touted prospect, and I think is now kind of living up to his promise. He'll be a junior. Got a squatty body named Nate Hoff, who kind of breaks all of their weightlifting records here in the off season, and I think they have adequate depth. I mean, they're not gonna frighten anybody probably on their defense, but it's very, very much a complementary units. I think the offense has to perform better to take pressure off the defense, and the defense just can't roll over like a doormat like it has in previous seasons to allow the offense to pull some what Coach Wilson calls some W's.
We've got a couple minutes left here with the Indianapolis Stars' David Woods previewing Indiana. They've got their kicker and punter back on special teams. Coleman was explosive as a you could put him anywhere. Do they have another explosive return man this year?
That remains to be seen. They had a freshman last year who was pretty good return man, but I think he fumbled one time and they didn't have him thereafter. That's a good question. Sometimes that falls to an incoming freshman, even if they have confidence in him. So there's a few question marks on Indiana's football team, but not nearly as much as there have been in other seasons, but they just have to keep Nate Sudfeld upright. I mean, their season essentially crumbled when he went down in the Iowa game in game six. In games that he started and finished, Indiana was 3-2, and otherwise they were 1-6.
Maybe the most winnable, or at least two of the winnable games on the conference schedule, come at the end. I always think that's a little scary, because if you're so beat up, those last two games maybe don't become as winnable. You said a good year to get six wins. They need to get three or four in the non-conference, in your opinion.
Yeah, I think they need to get all of them. And actually, their home game against Western Kentucky might be every bit as difficult as their game at Wake Forest. But you know, really, no excuse for Indiana to lose any of those games. And there's a possibility of them being 4-0 going to their Big Ten opener against Ohio State. Now, that probably would be very, very deflating, but there would be at least a glimmer on the national landscape if Indiana could go into the Ohio State game with a 4-0 record. But again, Indiana's pattern has been to be good now and then, but week to week under Wilson, they just haven't shown it, as evidenced by last year's big upset at Missouri, and they followed that with just a horrible game at home, but the next week against Maryland.
Well, we'll wrap it up with this, with David Woods of the Indianapolis Star. I know Cub fans would love us to talk about Kyle Schwarber and the things that he's doing, but the main sport is basketball. I got the feeling when we were in Omaha for the NCAA tournament that it might have been, you know, the death march there for Tom Crean, but he's still there. Your thoughts?
Well, they have a lot of optimism about this coming season, but again, you know, optimism only gets you so far. You know, Yogi Ferrell came back. They received a little bit of a setback this week when it was revealed that Blackman had a slight knee surgery to keep him out about 6 or 8 weeks. He's supposed to maybe come back, you know, just at the start of formal practice in October, so that would hurt him. But with what they have returning and the newcomers they have, I mean, there's every chance that Indiana could contend for the Big Ten championship. But definitely the fan base at Indiana wants to see proof. So I think it's optimism with Indiana basketball is very guarded, because I think there's definitely rumblings with a lot of dissatisfaction with what Crean has delivered at Indiana.
Great info on the Hoosiers of Indiana. A little basketball, mainly football, as our 14 teams in 14 days continue. David Woods of the Indianapolis Star with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. David, we'll let you get off to your next assignment. Thanks so much for the time, and hope to see you in Chicago.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, David. David Woods joining us here, Indianapolis Star, and he's also big into basketball, Illinois grad, written some books on Butler. But again, Indiana's just in that spot. Randy, we talked about it with a couple of these teams, mm-hmm. with Ohio State, Michigan State, just to start with in the East.
Well, that whole division is just, it is much better than the West. Let's just be honest about it. It is much better top to bottom from the West, although there's some intriguing teams in the West, and we'll talk more about that later. But it's just hard to elevate your program to that next level when you're going to get beat up by such powerful teams day in and day out, week in and week out. It's hard to really kind of turn it around. And you look at Indiana, and what you don't think of football. You don't think of football. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is basketball.
I wasn't joking with him. Go to the Indianapolis Star, click on sports, and you go to the news. Here's what's been talking about today. And you can click on Hoosiers, not just the national sports. Yeah. Click on the Hoosiers link.
Basketball.
There's one. You know, Sudfeld's on the Maxwell Award watch list. Like, out of the first 30 to 40 stories concerning Indiana collegiate sports, there's one football story.
And flip that around. You did Nebraska. You think about center and guard. You're talking football in this state, aren't you? You know, you hear the word center and guard. You're thinking, all right, offensive line. We're going to be good on the offensive line. It's just completely different from Indiana. Just kind of flip-flop, really, from Nebraska traditionally.
Well, we got a little rain this morning, but not enough for the heat wave what we've been going through. GPS and TNL, they team up together in the PP3 to make sure that you have got everything you need in your field so that when it is harvest time, you've got the most money in your pocket. TNL has an exterior control box, and you take a look online, you can see everything that goes along each one of their systems. Or you can stop by one of the local dealers, and they will show you, like Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation here in Kearney, and they will show you what goes into each and every one of their systems. The bottom line is, No start and stop. If you want the GPS PP3, you can control it from your smartphone, from your computer, anywhere where you're hooked up to the Wi-Fi, and you can start and stop it. You can change the directions. You can find out information about it. If it starts to pour, you can shut it off. You don't have to drive out there every single day. We know farming's 7 days a week anyway. Why put one more burden on you? T&L, like no other. We'll talk to Jay Christensen, assistant football coach, former Loper, and now at South Dakota State, when we come back.
At John Deere, we know you wouldn't buy a car without taking it for a spin. And it's, well, just a car. So you'll definitely want to get behind the wheel and test drive the brand new John Deere S240 Sport, equipped with a powerful V-twin engine and heavy-duty hydrostatic transmission. Available exclusively at your local John Deere dealer.
Find your full line of John Deere products at Oregon Trail Equipment, with locations in Hastings, Fairfield, Hebron, Red Cloud, Superior, and Marysville, Kansas.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts, or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
Everyone likes to save, and everyone likes to improve their home. You can do both this Saturday during the garage sale at Builders in Kearney from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. You'll find sacrificial savings on doors, windows, cabinets, hardware, and more. You won't want to miss this parking lot clearance sale at Builders in Kearney. Save huge on high-quality contractor-approved products for 6 hours only. Everything will sell Saturday from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Builders in Kearney only.
Builders does it best.
Now's the time to start training for the Nebraska Senior Games. Seniors ages 50 and up will have the chance to test their skills in a variety of different sports and activities, including track and field, golf, basketball, bowling, swimming, tennis, and many more. This year's games will be held August 6th through the 9th in Kearney. For registration and more information, go to NebraskaSeniorGames.com. Registrations are due July 17th. The 2015 Nebraska Senior Games, where competition never gets old. Get in the games at NebraskaSeniorGames.com.
At Apple Barrel Restaurant, located inside Sapp Brothers in Odessa, we have this thing some people like to obsess a little about. It's called customer service and quality. If you're looking for an affordable way to eat out and stimulate your wallet, well, this is the place for you. With daily lunch and dinner specials, and it's not like some little meal, it's made from scratch. No time to sit? Call ahead. We do orders to go. Apple Barrel Restaurant, inside Sapp Brothers. You don't have to drive a truck to stop at Sapp Brothers Travel Center.
Raxum Clays, August 15th at the Heartland Shooting Park. Hornaday Manufacturing is the presenting sponsor for the 23rd Annual Platte River Charity Shoot, benefiting Goodwill and the services they provide to people living with disabilities or barriers to working and living independently. There's something for everyone with youth, adult, individual, and team competitions. Scholarships awarded to winners of the youth division. Platte River Charity Shoot is sponsored by Rasmussen & Associates, Five Points Bank, and Hornaday Manufacturing. Sign up today at goodwillne.org.
ESPN Radio Superstation.
Out of the 20 and walking into the end zone. He'll take it in from 70.
KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
Doug and Eddie Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Get you ready for lunch. The Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill ready on it. You can even watch golf on this Wednesday with the Champions Challenge going on. And I tried to convince Colin to open at 5 in the morning so we could watch it. But he said, no, we do have to take a little rest and bring the chickens in and get them ready to go. So
and clean out the coop.
Yeah. There you go. They had to clean the coop. But they are there for you 7 days a week at the Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill, combining the best of both places at the Kearney Chicken Coop. Stop in, enjoy little lunch specials every single day, appetizer specials weekday afternoons from 2 until 5:30, and they will take care of you 7 days a week. If you need a little larger group, need a room for that, the party room is there for you. Or business room, and it's all there for you at the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill.
Business
in Kearney, of course. Glad to have you along with us. And Jay Christensen, former Loper, he's networking right now. As they, some people. people call it vacationing. Others call it networking. A former Loper, St. Paul native, played his ball here at UNK, was a former assistant coach. He's made his move on to Morningside and now has been spending some time with the folks at South Dakota State, defensive backs coach, co-special teams coordinator. He joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda and Randy Bushcutter. Jay, how's your networking going?
It's been great. Spending some time talking to some coaches here in town. So obviously, like you said, doing some networking while I'm on vacation.
And Jay, just you're at UNK right now talking with the coaching staffs there. In a sense, I can say that you guys are kind of rivals, but you're also colleagues. How does that relationship work, and what is your assessment of the new staff that they have there at UNK?
Well, I've known Coach Lamberson for probably 5-6 years now, and I always really thought highly of him when he was at Central Missouri and then his short stint there at Northwest Missouri. So I've known him for a while, so it was I really like him. I think he's going to do a great job. He brings a great mind to Kearney as far as football goes, and he's a great person. So, it's not really a rivalry. It's just one of those things. You just want to catch up with a guy that you've known for a while. So we just were down there talking some football, and Joe Holtzclaw, the O-line coach, known him for a while too. So more or less just catching up with them and just talking some football, which is what we love to do.
Jay Christensen talking a little football with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, defensive back coach up at South Dakota State, who the Huskers have played a couple of times. 1 year, it was a lot closer than Husker fans wanted. That was before Jay got there. Then, of course, they had the great running back in Zenner that kept it close for a quarter the last time that we got together. Jay, what was it like being an opposing coach at Memorial Stadium?
It was fantastic. I really enjoyed being able to step into Memorial Stadium, and obviously as a kid growing up, you go to the games there and you watch them, and you obviously are a huge Husker fan as a kid, and just being able to be on that field and look out there and see the sea of red was somewhat, it was intimidating, but at the same time it was fun, just a good experience, and really enjoyed it. And really, it's unfortunately, we didn't play well. I wish we would have played better, but still, all in all, a good experience.
Jay, the Jacks have done a great job of recruiting in Nebraska. I think they've always done a little bit, but with that move now to Division One, it becomes a lot more, I don't know, maybe it makes more news or what have you. Has South Dakota recruited Nebraska a little bit more? Is that by design, or is that primarily just a function of, you got good players, we're going to come try to get some?
You know, it was by design. We knew that there was a lot of talent in Nebraska, and we really wanted to focus in on it here the last couple of years, and it's really worked out well for us. We've had some really good players that we've been able to get out of Nebraska up there. This year's class that will be reporting here in August, there's six of them, I believe, that we're super excited about. You know, six of our 18-19 signees are from Nebraska, so almost a third of them, and there's some guys that can flat out play, so we're really excited about them. There is great talent here in Nebraska, and we're going to continue to recruit it hard because we feel we can win a championship with guys from Nebraska.
Jay Christensen, former Loper, St. Paul native, even spent a little time over at Ravenna when he was ready for his coaching career. Jay, because Nebraska fans are at least familiar with South Dakota State, you have to get through North Dakota State, but what kind of talent, what kind of team are you expecting for the Jacks this year?
It's going to be very interesting, Doug. Defensively, we returned 9 starters. We were very young defensively, very inconsistent, played really well at times. And then at other times, we didn't play well, and that was due to just the age of our guys. And once they kind of figured things out, we started playing more consistent defense throughout the year. Offensively, we lose a lot of firepower. We lose Zach Zenner, who leading rusher in school history and was very close to the FCS overall or all-time record. And we lose Austin Sumner, our quarterback, who was a four-year starter, broke all sorts of school records for us as a quarterback. And then as we lost a receiver that's in the top three or four all-time in receptions and receiving yards. So offensively, we've got some firepower to replace. You know, we got some guys that are hungry, that are coming in, that want to play, that want to prove that they can get the job done. And, you know, the goal is just to go 1-0 every week. And I think with our defense being how it is, hopefully we can, you know, allow our young offense to mature, you know, the first couple games until they get it going. Hope, you know, we can keep our you know, keep us in games defensively.
Jay, I'm kind of reminded of a few years ago when, you know, Oklahoma was the preeminent program in the Big 8, Big 12, what have you, and Nebraska in that conference always had that measuring stick to try to catch up with them. You guys are in that same situation with North Dakota State and the phenomenal run that they've had over the years. What do they do so well, and how do you try to close that gap? And because if you elevate and get close to where North Dakota State is, it'll be one of the premier programs in the country.
Here's what is so fantastic about them is they do not beat themselves. They play sound football. They don't turn the ball over. They run the ball well. They play great defense. And so they don't beat themselves. And what happens a lot of times when you play a team that doesn't beat themselves, you've got to not beat yourself. And the games that, you know, we've lost to them, we've beat ourselves. It's not necessarily them beating us. And so you've got to play mistake-free football against a team like that, and we've shot ourselves in the foot a couple times. Obviously, I think we're closing the gap on them, and you're right, they are the measuring stick for us, and you know, we are closing the gap, but they're just sound. They do things very well. They run the ball well. They play great defense. They're very simple defensively. They fly around, and you know, and they keep things simple for their guys to make plays. So, you know, it's one of those things where you just can't beat yourself when you play them. You got to make them beat you, and you know, we beat ourselves, that's for sure.
Just a moment left here with Jay Christensen, defensive backs coach up at South Dakota State, but of course former Loper, doing a lot of recruiting around here. I know they're excited about a Jessup Workman, a Matt Clark, some kids that we saw in the Shrine Bowl here in Kearney just last month. But I asked you earlier in the week about Michael Schaaf. He's just been so banged up. Is he going to have a chance to contribute his senior year, or is he one of those players that it just never worked out for him?
Well, we got hope for Mike, and he's been banged up, and he's had a couple knee surgeries. He's trying to get back from those, and you know, we'll find out here more once the season approaches where he's at physically. I think you know, we're counting on him, and hopefully he can come out and do some really good stuff for us. He's a phenomenal football player. You know, he started as a redshirt freshman and then as a sophomore, so he can do some really good stuff. We just got to get him healthy, and then once he gets healthy, we've got to keep him healthy, because he can do some really, really good things for us.
Jay, from the time that you played to now, the recruiting has changed, in my opinion, so dramatically, and obviously you know a whole lot more about it than I'll ever dream of knowing about it. Talk a little bit about how it's kind of changed and how that relationship between those that want to get recruited and this whole process, how it's kind of changed and evolved, and how do people kind of muddle their way through this?
Well, and this was, whatever, 15, 20 years ago when I was being recruited out of high school. You would get a letter here and there, you know, going into your senior year, and then maybe a few phone calls throughout the week, your senior year, and then you'd take an official visit in December or January, and then you would make your decision. Well, now everything's sped up. You know, you're contacting guys, you're writing guys letters and stuff as their sophomore year. You can't call them or anything. And then you're starting to really recruit kids as sophomores and then more as juniors, and then really, kids are—they're making a decision before you can get them on campus for an official visit in December and January. So it just speeds up the whole process. You know, it's never ending, and cell phones have—you know—with the access to us coaches and the access we have to kids, it just never ends. You know, even I'm on vacation, I had to take a call the other day to talk to a recruit. You know, and so it never ends, and it's everything's moving way faster than it used to. You know, and I agree with it, and there's some things I don't agree with, but, you know, it is the way it is.
Jay Christensen, defensive back coach at South Dakota State, of course, former Loper, did a great job as the defensive coordinator for Morningside in their numerous playoff runs. I do have an email here on the Dent Popper inbox. This comes from Larry in Caro, who says he went 3-under on the last three holes yesterday. Can you verify that?
I don't think Larry finished the last three holes. I think he got a DNF those last three holes and not 3-under. I can verify that he did not finish the last three holes.
And I've got another email. It's amazing how these come in for certain guests, but this email comes in from Lauren in Farwell, who says, do you take any – how could you recruit some of my young girls to play on your football team because he doesn't have any boys?
Well, that's going to be an issue. I don't think they're going to have – they're not going to have daddy's size. Fortunately, they're going to be beautiful like their mother. So, you know, they could always come be cheerleaders for us up there in Brookings.
Hopefully they got their mother's brains, too. That would help them out so much more. Jay, one more. I'll let you out of here because Randy can't officially say it this way. So, Randy, your senior-to-be place-kicking son kicked winning kicks in two state playoff games last year. What's his longest made field goal in competition?
43 yards, I think.
Oh, I thought it was like 48. Okay, whatever it was. So let's say he can make it from 50 on occasion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, Jay, you guys need a kicker?
Always looking for kickers. Always looking for kickers and punters. You can't have enough of those guys.
All right, there. I've done my duty here today without violating any rules.
Let me get you my email address.
We will take a break here on the Doug and Danny Show. Hey, Jay, thanks. We'll catch up with you later, man. Enjoy your vacation.
Absolutely. Thank you guys very much. Take care.
All right, thanks, Jack.
And St. Paul alum. He's known the Lou Platt Conference. He's a Loper. And, of course, as we said, Morningside, and now the defensive back coach and special teams co-coordinator up at South Dakota State. Our Midtown Mart cooler question, Midtown Mart, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you how you felt about the home run derby. 50% of you said you loved it. 38% went with average. 12% said it was the best derby ever. Today, Forbes has released their latest list of the world's most valuable sports team. Which of these four would you own? And I suppose two of them are soccer.
Which one's going to make me the most money?
Well, two of them are soccer, and that just shows a little bit about the world. Barcelona, 3.16. The Yankees, 3.2. The Cowboys, 3.2. Real Madrid, 3.26. Duh, it's easy for me.
I know, Cowboy
fans.
What do you think?
The Cowboys. And God, I might even have to take the Yankees second, because what would I know about anything about soccer? You?
Score goals. I don't know what makes you the most money. You know what? I love soccer. I do. But I kind of also love America, so I think I probably... And I don't like the Yankees. I could probably tolerate the Cowboys more than I could the Yankees there. If those are my options.
You can vote now.
Good problem to have, by the way.
Huh. How much that cost me? $3.26 billion? Sure. I'll just pay in cash. Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. An elongated Doug and Daddy Show concludes after this.
Welcome to Kearney for Cruise Night. Please do your part to make Cruise Night safe and enjoyable for everyone by knowing all city and state laws. A new city code makes it illegal to consume and possess an open container of alcohol in city right-of-way or on public property, including sidewalks. Remember to be safe, be smart. This message was brought to you by Positive Pressure, with funds provided by the state of Nebraska and the Substance Abuse Prevention and Treatment Block Grant.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Arma Coating Spray-On Bedliners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Arma Coating Spray-On Bedliner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Every baseball fan has respect for Major League Baseball's past, present, and future. And it comes alive at the Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball in downtown St. Paul. Dedicated to illustrating the careers of over 150 men with Nebraska ties who have made it to the majors.
Enjoy Hall of Fame exhibits featuring Alexander, Gibson, Boggs, Vance, Ashburn, Crawford, and Southworth. The Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball, a place you've got to see in downtown St. Paul. Open daily 9:30 to 4:30 and Saturday 10 to 2.
I call Kearney Crete and Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Good Lord.
Oh, my. You're critical, but you don't offer positive suggestions to young Mr. Henry.
We were extremely positive yesterday, weren't we, Caleb?
Of course we were positive. The Reds were not winning, so that's always a good day.
So there you go. He's a Cardinal fan. That was great, by the way.
By them getting booed?
That was great.
They even booed the former Cardinals. But you were a Cardinal once. We hate you.
But didn't
I love that.
It hasn't been that long ago since it was in St. Louis, right? Didn't they boo the Reds?
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Well, they also kept a couple of well-deserving Reds off when Matheny made the lineup. So, yeah, there was that, too.
We'll finish off with the All-Star game.
Guy leading the league and batting in RBIs doesn't make the All-Star team when Matheny's making the choice because he's a Red. Thank you.
And the franchise four here in just a minute. Folks, remember, the Doug and Daddy Show is part of the 2015 Alzheimer's Walk, and the walk is coming up next month. But we would love to get you on board now to be part of our team or any team. Maybe you've got another friend or family that is as part of the team. We have the Doug and Daddy Show team. The Walk to End Alzheimer's is next month. We'd love you to join us. You can find out more at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Alzheimer's Purple Walk banner's right there. Click on the Kearney Walk. Follow the directions. You can donate. You can find out more. You can be a big part of what's going on with the annual Alzheimer's Walk. The Doug and Daddy Show would love to have you on our team. Finishing things up here, the All-Star Game fun. The Royals did well. The franchise four. I think everything was pretty cool at Cincinnati last night. It was entertaining. It wasn't 1-0. It wasn't 11-10. It was in between.
Some
Royals had a couple of players that did well. So I guess it depends on how your favorite team did. But Mike Trout's the MVP again. And
can't argue with it. Yeah. I mean, Kane had the nice base hit, and Prince Fielder drove in a couple of runs. I mean, those were some of the other guys, but I thought Trout was probably the guy. Aroldis Chapman was very impressive, as he always is in the All-Star game, mowing folks down from the Reds' perspective. Frazier, after having a great night the night before, didn't do a whole lot yesterday. But it is absolutely without a doubt, the baseball All-Star game is the best All-Star game for any major sport. Not even close. It's played the way the game is always played. It looks the same. Scores seem the same. I mean, the NBA All-Star game, you know, you have twice as many points as you would have in a regular season game. The NHL All-Star game, the goalies are a sieve, you know, for the most part. I mean, it has actually played the way the game actually looks. And I always love the baseball All-Star game.
We had this discussion and disagreement off air. They had the four franchise players that were each team, and the newer the organization, you know, like, I mean, even the Royals are still new compared to the Yankees and the Dodgers,
right,
and Mets like that. But George Brett, Dan Quisenberry, Brett Saberhagen, Frank White. Yeah.
And we kind of came up with that.
I think Saberhagen's the only iffy, but that he was MVP of the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
But you had David Cone. You probably had a couple guys that career-wise longer could have been on there. I'm not saying he shouldn't be, but that's where you get with all of these. And, of course, you know, I can tip my cap to, yes, the Yankees are the greatest organization. Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig, Mickey Mantle, and Babe Ruth.
That's not a bad Mount Rushmore for baseball, period.
Almost surprised Lou Gehrig's on there.
Yeah, and that just says how historic that franchise has been in the last 100 years or so.
But in the end, they had the greatest living players in Major League Baseball. Here's the question I have for you then, Randy. if the All-Star game had not been in Cincinnati last night, would Johnny Bench have been on that Final Four? Because as I will say again, and I said to Randy, before I was a Royals fan, I was a Joe Morgan fan, like when I was 5'6" in the early 70s and the Reds were hot, and I rooted for the Reds and I rooted for Johnny Bench. So that's not where this is coming from. But I was a little shocked that Johnny Bench would be considered, even if he is the best catcher of all time, I would still be I'm still a little shocked that he's considered one of the four best players currently living.
Well, as a catcher, though, catchers are so important. I mean, they really are the quarterback of your team.
If it wasn't in Cincinnati, would he have been on the
floor? I still think he would be. I mean, you have to find a replacement. And we can come up with a long list. We can come up with a long list, but you already kind of have a pitcher. You know what I mean? So I think when people are voting, they're only going to vote maybe for one pitcher. So I think that's what might work against it. Nolan Ryan, you take a look at his lifetime ERA. Not that great. The other statistics, the total number of strikeouts, the no-hitters, obviously those are impressive. But you need to win a game. Is Nolan Ryan really ultimately the pitcher you would like to be at his prime,
I'm just
being the guy?
I'm going to throw a few names out.
And we can have this argument, which is the whole purpose of having the franchise four and doing this whole thing is to kind of spur discussion. But
Reggie Jackson, who didn't make it on the Yankees, made it on the A's. Reggie Jackson. One World Series on his own, almost.
Well, yeah, and yes, and that bench guy won a couple and was a fairly important factor of one of the best baseball teams of all time. It maybe because it's in Cincinnati, you tip the cap, but let's face it, their Big Red Machine might very well be right up there with the 27 Yankees as the best team that was ever put together. And I think there's some tip of the cap to the Reds as a result of that.
Barry
to Bonds. Steroids. No way. I mean, I would never vote for him.
Can you believe Buster Posey is on the all-time four for the Giants?
No. I mean, the Giants have been around
Ken Griffey
for a long
Jr.
time. Love Jr. And he'd be, he's one of my favorite players. If he hadn't have played on such bad surfaces in Seattle and had got the bad knees, if he could have stayed a little bit healthier, then absolutely he would be, because he is a human highlight reel. He reminds me, well, Andrew McCutchen reminds me of Ken Griffey Jr.
Cal Ripken Jr.
Longevity, there's some points for that, but is, again, he wasn't even the best shortstop in his division
Mike
most years.
Schmidt.
One of the best third basemen of all time. If you're going to do that, you got Brooks Robinson. You know, I think I go Brooks Robinson over Mike Schmidt.
Okay, well, there's a few. We're way
And again, I mean, I'm not going to absolutely say you're stupid for thinking that Bench shouldn't be on there. But let's face it, it's the one of the most important positions in the entire game, and he's the best one that's ever done it.
Well, we're just practicing up for Chicago, where our shows will be 2 hours plus from Big Ten Media Days. But we had fun today. Really thank Kirk Brooks. It's been a while since we've had him in studio. Owner of the Storm, Bill McCault, in studio for the first time. Jared Shaffer, all in from the Storm. Of course, our 14 teams in 14 days. Well-established, well-renowned writer for the Indianapolis Star, David Woods, to take a look at Indiana. Jay Christensen to talk a little Nebraska recruiting for non-Nebraska schools. He's up at South Dakota State now, the former Loper. We'll take a look at Minnesota football tomorrow. Of course, we've got a lot going on with Cruise Night, the Adams County Fair going on. Congratulations to the state junior baseball qualifiers. The brackets are out. Holdridge will play Omaha Ron College Saturday. That is in Bennington. Class C is in Dodge. Palmer Wallback Greeley plays West Point at 12. Stroms Osceola plays Wymore at 2:30, and Alma plays Arlington at 5 o'clock. We thank all the folks for joining us on the show today. Randy, have a good one.
All right, see you.
See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.